The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Kofnun Ches. This simon deals with the laws of childbirth, and if a woman unfortunately has a hapola, has a miscarriage. We know the Torah tells us that besides for the tumah, for the ritual impureness of a nida, of a woman who menstruates, there's also a tumah for a woman who gives birth to a child. Now, there's an interesting explanation of why is it that the Torah makes a woman who gives birth to a child, which is the pinnacle of creation, why would she become tameh? Why would she become ritually impure? And the idea that's said is that when a person reaches their greatest heights, so then, and when they go back to normal, it's sort of like a downtime. So therefore, the woman, when she was pregnant, she was creating this child, and now she gave birth to the child, so her mission in that sense is finished. It's obviously going to a new mission of being a mother, but that part of the mission is finished. So therefore, there's a natural downtime of being impure to sort of bring herself back together to start her new mission as a mother. And we know many times in the halacha and Jewish thought, there's times of, you know, up times and down times. We have Yom Tovim, that are the high points, and we have Tisha B'Av, that are the low points. And that's sort of the natural cycle of Jewish life. Now let's see the Kitzer and Suf Aleph, and he'll give us some background as far as this halacha goes. Yeledes, a woman who gives birth, ben yod of vlad chai, whether she gave birth to a living child, ben vlad meis, or whether the child was not alive, meaning a stillborn, vafilo nefil, and even if it was a nefil, which is like a miscarriage early on in the pregnancy, afilo leros adam, even if she didn't see blood, because if she would see blood, then she would anyways have the status of a nida, of a menstruating woman. Harihi tmeyo tumas leida. There's an impurity known as tumas leida that she gets. Now, what does that mean? So the Kitzer continues, and this is based on the Pesukim and the Torah, that mitzad hadin im hoya vlad zachar, if it was a male child, he tmeyo shivis yomim mishum leida. She would be impure for 7 days. Meaning, if you had a woman, let's say, that gave birth to a child, and let's say there was no blood, which is something that we don't really have today, so that woman would be tamei 7 days, even though she didn't see any blood. Now, in today's day and age, it's not going to make a difference. First of all, because she sees blood anyways, and therefore she's anyways going to be a nida. But let's see the next case. And then after those 7 days, she could count the 7 clean days. If it was a female, she gave birth to a female, she's impure for 14 days because of the birth. And then she counts 7 clean days and goes to the mikvah. So what this would mean is like this, that normally when a woman becomes a nida, she waits 5 days, or until when her period ends, and then she can go to the mikvah. A woman who has a male child would have to wait 7 days before she could count the 7 clean days. If she would have a female child, she would have to wait 14 days before she could count the 7 clean days. Now, usually when a woman gives birth, she is not able to become clean for much longer than that, so it's not really such an issue. But in certain situations, let's say if a woman has a miscarriage, it is possible that she might be able to become clean earlier, and then she would have to be careful about this, that it should be 14 days from when it began, that she can't start her 7 clean days before that. Now, obviously, if she knew it was a male, then you could do earlier, but we're talking in a situation, an early miscarriage, where she doesn't know what it was, so therefore she has to wait 14 days. And then she counts the regular 7 days. Then the Kitzer now discusses a custom that is very not prevalent today, but we'll see what the Kitzer says about it. Anyways, there are places that there's some sort of custom not to go to the mikvah within 40 days l'zachar of a male, u'shmayne miyam l'nekev, and 80 days of a female. U'b'makam sheminag zeh hu'moskim eitzel kulam. So the Kitzur says, how do you deal with this custom? So he says, if this custom is something that everyone does, ein l'hakal, then one shouldn't be lenient on the custom. Ki'esh k'tas tambada bozeh, because there is some meaning behind it. Because then Amar, in a custom that there is some sort of explanation for, the Torah says, Shema b'ni musar avicha, listen my son, the musar, the direction of your father, v'altitosh teres imecha, and don't cast off the teachings of your mother. Aval b'medina seinu, but in our countries, ein b'zeh minhag kfuah, there's not a set minhag like this, and not a set custom, mashiyesh b'miksas mekames minhag, and this, that some places do it, that after a male they wait 6 weeks and after a female they wait 9 weeks. These customs, those have no basis. So basically he's saying that those that have a custom to wait the 40 or the 80 days, that there is some basis for, but this custom of waiting 6 weeks or 9 weeks has no basis. And therefore, the second custom has no basis, and therefore it was discontinued. Now, there is something here to learn about customs in general, that we know that we're all obligated by halacha, something that's actual, the letter of the law. But there are customs. Now, a custom that has no basis at all, even if people do it, a person's not bound by it. An example over here would be the second custom. They're waiting this 6 weeks and 9 weeks, and there's absolutely no basis for it, so even if everyone does it, you're not obligated to do it. Just like if everyone buys a certain brand of clothing, so we're not obligated to do that. That's not considered a custom. But if it does have some meaning to it, like the other custom of 40 days or 80 days, then the Kitzur says there's a concept of Shema b'ni musar aficha, of altitash tar simecha, of following the customs. And as far as practical halacha, none of these customs are prevalent today in a strong way. So therefore, one does not have to be concerned. And the common practice is, after a woman has a child, she needs to wait either 7 or 14 days, or usually more often than not, until she becomes clean. And then she counts the regular Shiva Nakim, the regular 7 clean days that we're going to learn about soon. And then she goes to the mikvah, and then she has tar. She is ritually pure. Let's continue with Siv Beis. Yesh Aymrim. Some say, Shetzarech lifresh me'ishtoi leil arbon ve'echad l'zachar, that the 41st day after a male child was born, the leil shmoyne ve'echad, and the 81st day l'nekeva. Why? Somehow there is some concept that after 41 days or 81 days, there is some reason that she would see blood similar to when a woman anticipates a period. And there are those that disagree. Ubal nefesh yochash la'atzmai says the Kitzur that the actual halacha seems to be that you don't have to be concerned about it, but one who wants to be stringent on themselves should be careful about it. Now, I haven't heard of people being careful about this. It doesn't seem like this is a prevalent custom, but this is the opinion of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. V'im hepilu safek zachar, safek bekeva, if it's unclear whether it's male or female, yifresh shalabam v'echod, the 41st day, v'leil shmoina v'echad, and the 81st day. Now again, as far as I know, this is not a prevalent custom. But what is important to take out of here is the last line that says that when a woman doesn't know if she had a male or a female, let's say in the case of a miscarriage, then we have to be concerned about both. And therefore, we're going to say that she shouldn't become clean before 14 days, let's say, because we have to be concerned maybe it was a female. Let's continue with Siv Gimel. Isha Shapila is a daver. What happens if a woman miscarried something? At very early stages, she couldn't tell what it was. Afila aim by tsuras flag. Klal, even if it doesn't really look like a child, alakamai chatichas basa, just like a piece of flesh, hayar, or skin, or chadaima, tsricha lahachma, she has to be stringent, lahachzik as atzma, betumas leidas nekeva, she has to say, well, listen, I had something, maybe it was a fetus, and maybe it was a female. Or consult a rabbi. There could be some leeway in this, but the Kitzur is just alerting us to the question that needs to be asked. What happens if, let's say, she first miscarried or aborted a fetus, and then afterwards some sort of sac came out? Even though they know that the actual fetus that came out was male, tzricha lachar shel tumas lidas nekeva. She has to be concerned. Maybe there was an additional fetus in the sack, mishum asholya, because of the sack. Now, this has to do with the whole discussion in the Gemara. If a woman aborts a sack and we don't see any fetus in it, do we have to assume that there is a fetus? And the Kitzur is saying we do have to assume, and therefore she needs to wait the appropriate amount of time. Or she should ask a competent rabbi. Now, there is another application to these halachas, which is, if it will be a firstborn, does this create an issue of making a pidyon haben, redeeming the firstborn? And this, again, is something that one should consult rabbinic guidance, because it could be that until it's at least somewhat formed, then it doesn't have, as far as the laws of pidyon haben, we don't have to consider it to be a vlad, a child, that they would still be able to have a pidyon haben from a later pregnancy. Sif dalet. Isha shabarala she'ena mubaris. So a woman who knows clearly that she's not pregnant. Today it's easy to do that, a pregnancy test. V'tabala bala, and then she goes to the mikvah. And then within 40 days, she miscarries. So this is an important concept, that within the first 40 days of pregnancy, it's not considered a real child, as far as certain areas in halacha are concerned. And therefore, if she does miscarry within those 40 days, so she wouldn't have to be concerned. Because it takes 40 days for a child to be, the beginnings of a fetus to be created. And we know, for example, the Gemara says that during the first 40 days, one could daven, one could pray for it to be either male or female. About Tamei Nida, but she would be Tamei Nida, and obviously in today's days, there definitely will be bleeding, and that's going to be the bigger issue. Bafil Lainir Adam, and even if she didn't see blood, but something did come out of the uterus, Mistama Hayaksaz Dam Shela Sheneva. He says a very important point. He says that what happens if a woman discharges, some sort of discharge, and it seems to be some beginning of a pregnancy, but it's in the first 40 days. So he says the law of Tumas Yeled, this concept that a woman who gives birth to a child or miscarries becomes Tame, doesn't apply within the first 40 days. But the concern is Dam Nidas, the concern is maybe she became a Nida. Now, the question is that this woman didn't see any blood. She just had a discharge. So says the Kitzur, Mishtama Hayak Tzastam, we can assume that there was some blood, Ela Shenevad, but it was lost. Ki'i Avshel Apsicha Zakeru B'Loy Dam. So he says a very, very famous line over here, that it's impossible for the uterus to open up and discharge this discharge without there being some sort of blood. So what he's saying is that if a woman, even if it's within the first 40 days, but if there is a discharge, you have to assume that there was some blood, but it was lost. Now, a very important concept that we need to take out from this siman is this last point. The Gemara has a discussion whether we say that it's possible for something to leave the uterus without there being an issuing of blood or not. And the way the Kitzur is approaching it here, he's saying, E-Afsher, it's impossible, L'psicha zakar b'loy dam, without there being some bleeding. Now, there was a question asked to the Nadi Behuda. He was one of the great Paiskim in the 1700s. And the question was, when doctors started to do procedures where they would stick a gloved finger or an instrument into the uterus, would that render a woman a Nida? And the issue is, because when that is going inside of the uterus, it's opening it, and we, based on the concept of Eim Psichas HaKever, B'loy Dam, that there's no opening of the uterus without blood, so this could possibly be a problem, because it's creating an opening. Now, the Nei Behuda ruled that, yes, if an opening comes from the outside, it's still a problem of Eim Psichas HaKever B'loy Dam. This is what the Nei Behuda's opinion was. And others disagreed with him and said that, no, it's only if something is naturally discharged from the uterus, but if you go and put something inside from the outside, that's not a problem. But the ruling of the Nei Behuda was very much accepted. So Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe says the following. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, look, He says, the question of whether or not Em Sichas HaKever B'loy Dam, whether or not we have to assume that any time the uterus opens, that there's bleeding, is subject to dispute. And many Rishonim, many early commentaries hold it's a problem, but the opinion of the Rambam of Maimonides is that it's not a problem. So that's point number one. Point number two is that the Nevi Yehuda's concept that opening from the outside is a problem is a novelty. So therefore, Maisha says that when it comes to how large the opening is, he wants to sort of push the limits, how much he could say. So he says around 2/3 of an inch. You have to see in his response exactly where he gets that from, but that's what he says. Which basically means that most very thin catheters that are inserted wouldn't be a problem, but something that's more than that could potentially be a problem. And it's something to keep in mind when a woman goes for an invasive procedure. Now, the other important question is, where exactly is the psichas amakar? Where is that opening that's a problem? So we know that in a woman's uterus, there's the neck of the uterus is called the cervix. And the cervix has an opening into the vagina. And then there's a deeper opening into the actual cavity of the uterus called the internal os. And there's a discussion, where is the opening of the rechem? And this is going to make a difference, right? For example, when a woman goes for an internal examination, the doctor uses a gloved finger, he doesn't get nearly near the internal os. He'll maybe get close to the cervix, but he's not going to get further than that. So that would be one question. Another question would be, one of the routine things doctors do is they do a pap smear, which is they take a sampling of cells in the cervix to see if any of them are abnormal. And many times they use a brush, and that brush is abrasive, and it could cause some bleeding. Now, that bleeding may be damaka, may be blood from a wound, but the question is there a concern in general because it's going inside? Now, some Paiskim, I believe it was Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others, went with that the external opening is a problem. But Ramesha Feinstein, and I believe many Paiskim in America accept his view that if you look in the Rambam, if you look at the wording of the Rambam says that Savar Rechem, the neck of the Rechem, which should be referring to the cervix, does not have the status of the Rechem. So therefore, at least according to Moshe Feinstein, when a woman goes to the doctor, she should be only concerned if something actually enters the uterus cavity itself, but not the cervix. And definitely, a doctor who does an examination with a gloved finger would not be a problem. Now, we did mention in a different shear that if a woman finds blood inside the vagina, she can't assume that it came without sensation, without hargasha, and it gets into a question of a Torah prohibition. And therefore, if she does find blood, say, on the doctor's glove or that sort of thing, then it's going to be more serious than a regular kasim and a regular blood that's found on a garment, that we could say, well, if the garment is colored or the garment is not of a material that contracts tumah, or it's less than the amount of a grist, which is around the size of a penny, that it's okay. This would be more serious, and a person should consult a competent rabbi.